Madame Strange, Teller of the Future, Book 3, Web of Lies, Chapter 12. Bianca didn't look into her rearview mirror as she pulled out of the rest stop just after lunch. She hoped Jerry and Winnie hadn't seen her leave. They, however, knew what her decision was before she made it, and climbed atop the RV awaiting her departure. Bianca didn't hear them. Ghosts make no noises unless they want to. Bianca pulled into a small roadside stop 2 hours later. It was time to use the bathroom. She sat on the toilet, thought about her destination, and looked forward to seeing some old friends at the carnival she was joining. There was a knock on the door. Bianca assumed it was another motorist asking for directions. She finished and went to the door. Jerry and Winnie greeted her. "What the fuck?" "Hello, Bianca," Winnie said. "We told you you were our only hope, didn't we?" "Well, we meant it. You have to help us. We won't harm you or anything, but we had no choice. Neither do you." Bianca glared at them. She wondered if there was a way to escape. There wasn't. "Come in," she said. They entered and stood looking at her. She felt they were waiting for something. "What is it you want from me?" "Take us to our parents," Winnie replied. "Where are they?" "Look them up again," Jerry suggested. "I can't. There's no Wi-Fi here." "What about your phone?" "Oh, yeah." Bianca took out her phone, Googled the Bixby's, and read their address. "It seems they're in suburban Philadelphia. I was planning to go into New York State." "I think your plans just changed." It was not a request. For the first time, Bianca sensed menace in Winnie's voice. She did not know what they could do to her if she didn't cooperate and didn't want to find out. Bianca wasn't certain if she could fight them if she had to. In the past, Bianca had sporadic encounters with ghosts. They sometimes appeared in her crystal ball. The ghosts she saw were customers who came to her for their futures, and she was seeing them after they died. What she saw often chilled her. She rarely mentioned it to them. Instead, she made up an evasive story for the unsuspecting client. There were other encounters with ghosts that were not in her crystal ball. They were in the real world. Bianca had learned that ghosts were unpredictable. She never made assumptions about what they would do. All she knew for certain was that she had to be careful. Bianca wasn't afraid of death. Not her own, anyway. Most people were, and they didn't like being reminded about it. How do you tell someone you're seeing them dead? She had never figured out a way to do that. That sort of honesty would be bad for her fortune-telling business anyway. However, this wasn't business. These ghosts were real. They wanted something from her, and it seemed there was no way to escape doing what they wanted. Bianca felt trapped. She had been trapped enough times before to learn that sometimes what seemed to be a trap wasn't one. Maybe those who did the trapping were the ones who were trapped. Bianca would have to wait to see how this ordeal with Winnie and Jerry played out before she could decide what she ought to do. "Mrs. Bixby?" Bianca said. "Yes," the 50th chubby blonde woman replied. "Hello, my name is Bianca Estranho. I saw your website. I've had a couple of dreams." Bianca lied. Oh, please come in." Bianca entered the modest row house in suburban Philadelphia. Darla glanced outside at Bianca's RV and read the words painted on the side. The RV looked out of place on the quiet residential street. Bianca wondered how soon someone would ask her to move it. "Jonathan?" Darla called. "Coming." Mr. Bixby walked in from an adjoining room. Two children tagged along gleefully. "He loves playing with our grandkids," Darla explained. "You have grandchildren? The website didn't mention that." "Yes. We had other children beside Gerald and Winnie," Jonathan explained. "Losing them was a blow, of course, but we still had to keep the family going." "Of course." "This is Bianca. She might have information for us." "I've got more than information," Bianca thought. "I've got two ghosts who claim they belong to you. They're planning to haunt you." "Please sit down. Can I get you anything?" Darla asked. Bianca shook her head. "So, you said you had dreams," Jonathan began. "Please tell us more." "I was sleeping at a rest stop in Ohio. I saw two people in my dreams. I didn't know either of them. They've never been my customers." "Customers?" Jonathan asked. "Bianca's a fortune teller. I hope it's okay to call you that."
"Of course."
"So you're somewhat psychic?"
"A little. I can never be sure. I won't claim special powers or anything like that. Let's just say I'm highly intuitive. I've learned over the years that when I get a strong intuition, like someone appearing in two successive dreams, it might mean something. I saw on your website that you've sought leads from various sources. I felt I owed it to you to share what happened in my dream."
"We appreciate that, don't we, dear?" Jonathan commented. Darla nodded. "Please go on."
"Well, how can I put this delicately? Two people came to me and told me about you. They claimed they were deliberately abandoned by you years ago when they were younger than your grandchildren. Gerald and Winifred were abducted, Darla insisted. That's what your website says, Bianca responded. What are you suggesting? Jonathan asked. Maybe they don't think they were abducted. Maybe they were brainwashed or something. Remember, this was only a dream, but I thought it was too strong a coincidence to ignore. How did they look in your dream? Jonathan asked. They were adults. They didn't appear as little kids? No, that's what I thought was so strange. I would have expected them to appear as kids if I was dreaming about what I read on your website. If that had happened, I would have dismissed it and went on to my next job. But them appearing as adults seemed significant to me. So, what do you think that means? I don't really know. Where were you exactly? Darla asked. At the towpath rest stop. Darla gasped. That's where we were when they were abducted. That's what I thought. You think it's a coincidence that I dreamt about them there? I don't really know. Well, I don't think it's a coincidence. That's why I drove all this way to talk to you. It may not be a coincidence, but I don't see what it means. Jonathan, how could this be useful? It's not much of a lead. I guess it could tell us they're still alive somewhere. So that's something, right? You didn't assume they were still alive? Bianca asked. We assumed the worst a while back, but never admitted it on our website. It seemed hopeless. So, I've brought you some hope at least, Bianca said, and I've brought you so much more. You have no idea. Bianca wondered if she could prevent Winnie and Jerry from doing what they came to do. I still don't know who's telling the truth, she thought. She didn't know if she could stop Winnie and Jerry from haunting an innocent, grieving family. Yes, you have brought us hope, Jonathan said. Forgive me. This is quite a shock. I don't know what we ought to do about it. Is there more you could tell us, like where they might be? Well, they came to me while I slept at the very rest stop where you last saw them. So I would guess they're somewhere in that area. But that's just a guess. Interesting. We canvassed that area thoroughly. Nothing came up. Since it was a rest stop visited by thousands of cars every day, we assumed they were taken away as soon as they were abducted. That's a logical assumption, Bianca replied. But maybe you want to look again. She got a strong sense one or both of the Bixbys didn't want to look again. Not at the area near the rest stop, or anywhere else. She couldn't tell if they were tired of searching unsuccessfully, or they just didn't want to find out what happened to Winnie and Jerry, because they really had abandoned them, as the children claimed. It seemed every step Bianca took enmeshed her deeper into the mystery surrounding this family. She felt her entanglement in this strange dilemma was not finished. Bianca wished, again, that she could see her personal future in that crystal ball of hers.